the award-winning one, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, and of course the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. What's going on, Ryan Wood?
I am doing lovely. Happy hurry up and wait day to you. Is there a dumber term in all the NFL than legal tampering?
No.
It's like we've been doing this since the combine. What, you're just going to allow it? And it's like someone that jaywalks all the time. Now you can do it legally. You're just doing the same thing. Now we're going to allow you, but you've already been doing it. It's hurry up and wait day. So I hope your hurry up and wait day is going well, Sparky.
Yeah, it's going fine. And they allow now, what do they allow? 1 hour video conferences now with, what is that, five or six potential guys today, which they have not done in the past?
Which is a good move. I mean, it never made sense to, hey, make the biggest decision of your entire career without talking to anybody that you might be working with. That never made sense. So that's a good move, but legal tamper, let's not pretend. There's a reason why you've seen this incredible flurry of deals today. It's because they've been working on it for two straight weeks already. That's the reason.
I'm going to start with what we talked about in the second segment of the show. Before we get to all the moves that have been made, I'd like to get to the move that I have not seen anything made of yet, and that is Elgton Jenkins is still sitting on this Packers roster.
Yeah, because then they get a fourth-round pick for him from, you know, maybe not the Dallas Cowboys since they got theirs from Rashawn Gary. You might as well. There's no reason to release him yet. That doesn't mean that he won't be released if there's no dance partner in a trade, but there's still time. Give it time, Sparky.
All right. Just thought it was interesting. Also, Ryan Wood, let's talk about some of the moves that were made. First off, the Zaire Franklin move is the one that everybody is talking about and mad about, apparently. Zaire Franklin for Colby Wooden. There's no guaranteed money attached to Zaire Franklin, so they can cut and move on when they would like there without any future implications. Your thoughts on that deal?
Wait, why? People are mad about this.
People are not happy because, you know, you go and you look at the numbers, and he did not have a good year last year. If you go and look at his numbers in his career, he's not been good against the pass. And then if you bring up, he's a Pro Bowler in 24, he was a second-team All-Pro in 24, people don't want to talk about that. That's too long ago. We only care about what happened last year with a different coordinator.
There's reasons to doubt, or I guess I don't get angry about much, but there's reasons if you're a fan to be angry. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page, because when I heard that, I thought people might be doubting that, you know, to get rid of Colby Wooden. But what the Packers essentially did this weekend going into free agency was rearrange the furniture on the roster. They narrowed their focus as far as addressing needs. And I do think, look, Zaire Franklin's lack of pass coverage, I don't know how that's much different than Quay Walker's lack of pass coverage. And that was a massive issue, not just last year, but really throughout Quay Walker's entire time. You cannot hide a mic in pass coverage. So to me, that screams that they're planning on Edgerrin Cooper being the primary pass coverage linebacker.
Yep.
Maybe at times the one linebacker on the field, which is something that they have not wanted to do the last 2 years. Because if they did, they absolutely would not have left Quay Walker in that role. So that'll be interesting. Edgerrin Cooper has the physical traits to hold up in coverage. He was fine when he was given that role last year. It's just Quay Walker was the leader of that defense, and he was the pass-covering linebacker. I think that'll be an interesting transition. As far as losing Colby Wooden, which does enhance the need at defensive tackle. You know, for the last couple of weeks, everyone's talking about, oh, they need nose tackles. They need nose tackles. Colby Wooden doesn't profile on tape, the measurements as a nose tackle. In game film, he was the nose tackle. He was the run defense specialist. So what they really have needed a defensive tackle was that second all-down interior guy that you can pair with Devontae Wyatt, what they had when they had Wyatt and Kenny Clark together. They didn't have that. They lost that when they traded Kenny Clark for Micah Parsons. Now they need that, and they do also now need a nose tackle. You're going to see Brian Gutekunst just load up at defensive line. You're going to see him load up at corner. Those are the two obvious needs on this roster, especially re-signing Sean Ryan to play center. It's a rearranging of the furniture. They're going to go after those two spots now.
Time with Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on X at @ByRyanWood. He joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Let's talk about the other deal. This one happened earlier today. Rashawn Gary to the Cowboys for a fourth-round pick. And if you put two trades together, all of a sudden it's Micah Parsons and a four for Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, and two ones. Outside looking in, that doesn't look great for the Packers.
Yeah, it does. Micah Parsons is a different creature on this planet than anything that you just mentioned there. You got Micah Parsons. Now, the thing that doesn't look great, and there's no crystal ball here, is the torn ACL. Okay, well, if Brian Gutekunst had known Micah Parsons was going to tear his ACL week 15 against Denver, obviously that would have had a significant impact on the decision-making there. There's no ability to read in the future. As far as what they have in Micah Parsons, that laps the field on everything else you just mentioned. That Micah Parsons is a different dude. I do expect him to return healthy, and I'm of a mind that so long that Micah Parsons returns and is who he's always been, that really mitigates your need at edge rush. Because any edge rush that has Micah Parsons headlining it is going to get constant edge rush pressure. That's the reality of having Micah Parsons. So that's where they're at. I mean, the need's more on the interior. For the Packers, you can get a fourth-round pick for a guy that you're going to release, save $11 million against the cap. It just makes sense.
Let's talk about another player, Sean Ryan, your guy. Nobody loves Sean Ryan more than Ryan Wood. I know that. You have got to be
just... I like a swear word, man, all right?
Yeah, you have got...
colorful language.
Yeah, you have got to be ecstatic that Sean Ryan is back. And when that deal came out, I was like, man, that seems a little expensive to me. Then I saw the Linderbaum deal for the Ravens today at $27 million on average. I went, no, I'm good with Sean Ryan deal. You know, that's fine. I'm good with it. Never mind. Yep.
I almost knocked over unconscious when I saw the Linderbaum deal for a center.
Crazy.
That's like, that makes it hard for me to breathe. Like, that's high altitude there. Yes, Sean Ryan, I thought he was the guy from that very chock full 2022 draft class entering free agency now that made the most sense. He was a fine bit of a revelation at center last year once he took over for Elgton Jenkins. He's not a great pass protector, but if you have a guy who's a mauler in the run game that can do the quarterbacking, the communication aspect of the offensive line required at center and is not a good pass protector, that's where you put him. You're flanked by guards. You're protected in pass rush. That's a good spot for Sean Ryan. I think it does solidify the middle of that offensive line. It's not to say that day three, if they like a center prospect, they're not going to go and draft some depth there. They absolutely could. But it's much less of a need, and it allows you to hammer home on the two spots you've got to hammer home with even more. And that's, of course, corner and defensive tackle.
The other move that people obviously are going to talk about is the Aaron Banks restructure. Them getting Aaron Banks to restructure his deal frees up some cap room this year, but pretty much solidifies him this year and next year as a Packer.
I mean, you might as well, since you don't have a time machine, you can't go back and just keep Elgton Jenkins as a left guard and never sign Aaron Banks. You've got to make the most of what you can do right now. So that's what, you know, the offensive line next year is going to be Jordan Morgan at left tackle, Aaron Banks at left guard, Sean Ryan at center, Anthony Belton at right guard, Zach Tom at right tackle. There is plenty to like there, and there is plenty to be very, very concerned about. The best part of that is that you are dealing with a fair amount of youth. Certainly I'm thinking Jordan Morgan being an upgrade potentially at left tackle, which is the most important spot. Anthony Belton getting a second season to really develop it. He's got all the tools to be a terrific right guard. Center, Sean Ryan, you give him a full offseason. He's the guy now. Maybe he can build on the second half of last season because they really found something in the run game once he moved to center.
Yep.
There's reason to believe that there's developmental upside there. And then what if Zach Tom doesn't return to full form from the injury? What if Aaron Banks is what he was in 2025? They have the same offensive line coach. There's real concern there, too. So we'll see how that plays out. I can see it going either way.
The other one that I want to get your feel on here is defensive line. Don't they have to make a move or two on the defensive line in free agency? I can't imagine they can rely completely on this draft class to fill that defensive line role without using free agency.
Two defensive tackles. That's what they need, and they're very different. Again, they need that second all-down defensive tackle who is a starter, who can line up and stop the run on early downs, who can pair up with Devontae Wyatt and nickel on third downs. You don't have to take him off the field. That's what they had. That's what they lost with Kenny Clark in that trade. They had that with Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt. They lost that when they traded Kenny Clark to the Cowboys. What they also need is a nose tackle now. They need that run defense specialist, that early down guy, big body that plays big, eats up blocks, because they had not necessarily the big body, but on film, you watched the way Colby Wooden played the position. He played like a nose tackle. He was an early down run specialist who was not going to give you any pass rush, but absolutely played the run like a grown man. And they don't have him now. So they need to add depth at nose tackle. This is a terrific draft, very deep draft for nose tackles. They can reach into there at that position and fill it that way. But it's two defensive tackles. And again, Micah Parsons being on your edge rush means you're going to get edge rush pressure. Not saying you don't want to help your best player. If there's good value there for an edge rusher, by all means, you add there. But I think that's something less of the mandate that it is in other spots on this roster.
Easton Butler, who we've had on previously, just tweeted out 2 minutes ago, Packers have released Elgton Jenkins. So we'll see if that is true. So we got the Elgton Jenkins in topic before it happened, Ryan. We were ahead of the curve.
I just said, give it time.
Yeah.
Give it time.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean – here's the thing that people forget all the time, and I say this every year. Twitter – or the app formerly known as
whatever
X, is a linear chronology. You see things as they are posted to the app. That is in no way how free agency actually works. Free agency is not linear. Free agency is multitasking. You have many different things all happening at once, and just because we haven't seen something yet doesn't mean it's not happening. You just have to keep that in mind.
Do you think there is a chance? Because one of the names that's out there is obviously Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen. Both of those guys potentially would make sense for the Green Bay Packers, especially Hargrave, who obviously played for Gannon in Philly.
Yeah, you know, if they wanted to make a big swing at defensive tackle in free agency, the guy that was on my mind who is no longer available was John Franklin Myers at Denver. Obviously, he's off the board to the Tennessee Titans now.
For a ton of money. Right, for a ton.
A ton of money. That's, like I said, quote, big swing.
Yep.
That was the big swing play. That's not happening. But there's still some options, for sure. And to me, defensive tackle is a position, when you're a team like the Packers, where 2026 is, by definition, purely a Super Bowl or bust year. I just don't think you can accomplish that all in the draft. Because, Sparky, who are the two best defensive tackles the Packers have fielded in the last 10 years?
Who?
It's Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt.
Sure.
What did they do as rookies? Darn near nothing. That's the nature of the position in this league. It is about as hard of a position in this league to transition from college ball to the NFL. It almost always takes a year, at minimum. You really want to add to that position, which is dire right now in terms of need, through the draft. You're not getting the impact you need if you don't dig into free agency somewhat. I don't see how you can avoid it. So a Calais Campbell, can someone like that, a Javon Hargrave, guys that have experience with Jonathan Gannon. That's not the big swing necessarily, but it does address the position, and then you can also add depth through the draft. To me, defensive tackle is a multifaceted approach.
Jordan Schultz and Adam Schefter now also reporting that Elgton Jenkins is going to be gone. So there you go on Jenkins. Ryan Wood, thanks so much for coming on, my friend. Appreciate it. And do you have like a room for all the awards that you win, or how does that work?
Would you think less of me if I told you I actually do?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think less.
My office wall.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
Yes, I have a couple plaques on the office wall. I've been very blessed.
And going back to very rarely, do you really get upset? Well, I'm here to tell you, when the Mets aren't doing well, he gets upset. Ryan, thank you so much.
That's true, but that's also why you and I get along so well, because I'm always, I always check in with you. How's the temperature? Do you need more Christmas trees?
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing? So, it's a good mix.
Got a bigger storage unit, so now we have room for two or three more at least. So maybe more.
Oh, God, help you.
Yes, well, here we go. Ryan, thank you so much.
Take care.
There he is, Ryan Wood, our guy, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on X at @ByRyanWood, joining us on the guest hotline. Powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all.